If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we pray that you would speak to us today. That even now in the midst of our busyness, even now in the midst of this season of what should be rest and hope and preparation, but so much more often than not is a time of stress, we ask that you would speak to us today. That in the midst of whatever we might be going through, whatever our families might be going through, that you would grant us hope. Hope for your future, for what could be. So, Lord, we pray that we would hear you speaking to us today through your scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Frosty, the snowman, knew the sun was hot that day. Not today, that day. So he said, let's run and we'll have some fun before I melt away. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there and all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop, for Frosty the snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. My question for us this morning is, do you believe it? Will Frosty be back again someday? And this isn't a commentary on the weather outside, nor global warming, or anything like that. I'm saying, is it going to be the same Frosty when he appears the next time? Maybe you could think of it more this way. If every snowflake is unique, and yet it's the same magic hat, is it going to be the same Frosty who will get the next time it snows? What if this Frosty is not as fun could be? What if this Frosty is a little bit more melancholy? What if this one's a little more lazy? What if this one's just not funny? Of course, the bigger issue in all of this is that for us kids, we don't really care what he'll be like when he comes back because we are still sad that in this moment he is not here any longer. And all that we're left with is two lumps of coal, a button, a corncob pipe, and an old silk hat. Is it enough to say that he'll be back again someday? Is that enough for today? Is that all we need to have hope, knowing that he'll come back again someday? Then again, maybe it's only in times like that that you can have hope. I mean, maybe it takes a certain amount of disappointment or discouragement or despair or even darkness for hope to be able to exist. Maybe these are actually prerequisites for hope. As if there needs to be a lack in order to be able to hope for fullness. So today I want us to spend some time talking about hope. And as we do, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 44. 23, verse 44. While you're turning there, I'll remind you, this is our fourth week in our Advent series, where we're looking for the deeper gifts of Christmas time. The Christmas song says, Christ was born for this, Christ was born for this, but for what? What is the this? Was Christ just born for the presents and the parties and the crafts and the caroling, or was he also born for what he did on a cross? I wonder if during this season we're supposed to be celebrating not just Jesus' birth, but the rest of his life as well. And so maybe we aren't supposed to just celebrate the wooden manger, but maybe we're also supposed to celebrate the wooden cross. And maybe we don't just celebrate the star in the sky, but also the tomb in the ground, which we'll look at today. Maybe we celebrate not just the shepherds and the wise men who were there at his birth, but also the criminals, the soldiers, the disciples who were there at his death. As we find ourselves continually throughout this story, maybe Christ was born for all of this. And maybe it's only in recognizing this that we can come to realize the greater gifts that we've been given at Christmas time. As we talked about in the first week, we've been given the gift of being rescued and redeemed like Barabbas, that God in Jesus literally took our place that we might be free. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gift of forgiveness, which was given through, in some ways, Jesus' empathy. Like, you need empathy in order to forgive. Last week, we looked at the gift of eternity, the gift of heaven, the gift of the kingdom of God, which actually may teach us more about how we are to live today. It actually teaches us more about our present than our future. And today we're going to be looking at the gift of hope. Though I would encourage you, as I read today's passage, which contains a lot of darkness, where do we see hope? So as I read it, where do we see hope in this story? Luke chapter 23, verse 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. Excuse me. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Amen. Today, as we look through our passage, and really the ending part of our passage, I want us to look for hope in a story that's all centered around a tomb of all things. In the face of the horrific news of Jesus' death, we see the women acting faithfully despite their despair. They go to anoint his body, to do the work that just it needs to get done. And it's in the face of the darkness, it's in the face of that disappointment, it's in the face of despair that they come to the tomb and they find it empty. Though not quite. Because there are two angels in there. And the angels point the women back to the words of Jesus where he said, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then our passage says, they remembered his words. I wonder if part of what hope is made out of is remembering. In some ways, I think hope reaches backward and remembers how the world has changed in the past. Hope remembers that not everything that started out badly ended badly. hope sees the world as having a longer arc, an arc that doesn't only end in darkness. And for us of faith, hope is even stronger. Because we know that our hope remembers the past acts of God. Hope remembers the words of God, and hope remembers that God has continually been faithful. And so as we look to find hope in our passage today, we find hope is grounded in the past as we remember how darkness has not won but has been overcome. There's something about remembering in hope. Our story continues, and the women return to the disciples. They relay the story of what the angels said and what they saw. And our passage is very clear that the disciples do not believe the women. It sounds like nonsense. But then, despite the disbelief of the disciples, our passage says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. In other words, where the other disciples only found doubt, Peter found hope. Peter found faith. Somehow Peter's hope was born out of some kind of belief, no matter how small. Somehow Peter believed that the outcome of his story could be different than what it looked like. We see in Peter that hope is an act of belief. Hope is an act of faith. Hope is knowing that the future may not end up the way it looks, that the story might not quite be done yet. Hope is the belief that there's still a chance for things to work out differently. Hope is the belief that no matter what the odds, sometimes the underdog does win. Hope is the belief that sometimes when things look the most dark, it simply means you're that much closer to the dawn. And then almost more important than that, it says that Peter ran to the tomb. In other words, Peter's hope, which is born from remembering the past, is strengthened by faith toward the future, is finally manifest in action in the present. He doesn't wait on his faith. He doesn't wonder about his belief. He runs towards his hope. It's almost like hope is an act of courage. That hope, while it requires the possibility that it may not end up well, hope compels us to act toward a better future. It innately struggles to change the consequences and the outcomes of the situation. And we see this in Peter as he runs towards a tomb. In the face of horrific odds, despite all probabilities, his hope is kindled into action. And so as we think through this story of the tomb, we see that hope is an act of remembering the past. Hope is an act of faith, knowing that the future can change, and then hope is an act of courage as it gets acted out in the present. That's how we see hope manifest in the story of Jesus' death. Now let's take that and see if we can see those same aspects of hope at Jesus' birth, before we try and see if it's in our lives as well. Since we know that hope begins by remembering the past, we realize that our Christmas story begins long before a baby was lying in a manger. This is why there are always so many Old Testament prophecies read during Advent, during the lead up to Christmas. Because the context of Christmas is all the stuff that comes before. And let's remember what that was. The people of God, the Israelites, have been under the rule and reign of the Romans, so clearly not everything is the way it's supposed to be. Not only that, but we haven't heard from the prophets, and therefore from God, in about 400 years, which is kind of a long time to wait for God to speak. Then again, we also remember that throughout our history, God has been faithful again and again and again. And in the midst of that faithfulness, he's told us some things that would come. He said things like, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. He said things like, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So that despite the realities and even darkness that those in the early Christmas story saw all around them, they still found hope because they could remember. They could look back at the words of God from the past. They could remember that God is faithful, even when it's hard to see. But then hope isn't simply an act of remembering, it's also an act of faith. Hope is seeing a different picture despite what everyone else around us sees. Hope is believing that something else could be true. We see this in a young couple who, despite all odds, believe that the child that's about to be born might be the one who is to come. They actually believe that they, of all people, could make a difference. They aren't the only ones because there are also shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And they actually believe, of all things, they believe that angels showed up and told them that the Christ was going to be born. There are wise men in the East who, through looking at stars or something, figured out that a new kind of king is going to be born. And they had hope. All of these various and yet everyday people have the faith to see a different picture of what could be. And this alternate reality gives them hope. And then despite all evidence to the contrary, we see their hope lived out in their actions, their acts of courage even. Because they don't just believe what they see, they act upon it. A husband marries an already pregnant wife that he should not marry. A wife carries, bears, and nurtures a baby who is said to have come from God. Shepherds leave their flocks to tell the world what they've seen. Wise men leave their home, travel to a distant land, disobey the local sovereign so that they might offer their gifts to a new king. Because remember, hope acts. Despite the fear, the discouragement, the disbelief, the darkness, hope courageously lives out faith now. So we can see hope lived out in the story of the death of Jesus, and we can see hope lived out in the birth of Jesus. What about for us today? Since we know that God's resurrected Son doesn't just live, but He reigns now, might we find hope as well? And really, it sure seems like we could use a little bit more hope these days. I think we've, in some ways, as a people, grown weak at hope. That our hope has become frail. It's become fickle. We seem to be more afraid and more angry and more discouraged. And in all that, I think it's become harder for many of us to find much hope anymore. Though maybe part of why hope is so hard today is that we simply have more trouble remembering. We spend so much time looking forward toward what could be. We spend so much time looking around trying to make sense of what is. We spend so much time wishing that things were different that we've lost all perspective to see how the past can inform not just our present, but our hope. We don't have the space or the energy to know even our own stories. So it's no wonder that we don't have much hope anymore. It strikes me, the more I learn about the past, the more I learn about history, the more perspective I'm able to bring to bear on the present, which actually begins to restore my hope. As I can remember God's faithfulness in the past, it reminds me and even reassures me that He will continue to be faithful today and on into the future. Of course, maybe it's not our inability to remember that's the problem. Maybe it's in our inability to see any alternative possibilities in the future. Maybe we struggle with the faith whereby we could see that the future could be different. There's so much noise in our lives. We're buried under so much to do. There's so much busyness that we don't have the time or take the space to nurture the imagination it would take to believe something different. It's almost like we've lost our ability to dream, and with it, our ability to hope for those dreams. Maybe part of the reason that hope is so difficult is it's hard for us to have faith in the future anymore. Or maybe it's simply something about it's hard to act on our hope. So instead of acting on our past and our futures, we simply make wishes, wishing that things would be different, wishing that a different future might just suddenly happen. But wishes and hope are so different. Wishes are neither grounded in the past nor aimed at the future. It strikes me that the act of wishing, in contrast to hoping, isn't rooted in much of anything. There's no basis in reality. It doesn't actually believe that anything will be changed. And this is why we don't act on our wishing. Because it's more of a whim. It feels flighty. It doesn't drive us to act. This is why hope is so much deeper than wishing. It's why hoping seems to have a better foundation than wishing, because when we hope, there's an actual expectation that we can make something better happen. That Jesus can make something better happen. And that hope, which is grounded in the past and aiming at the future, gets born in our actions. Of course, the really good news in all of this is that this is who we are as a people. We are and are called to be a people of hope. Because innately, we should be drawing on the rich story of our faith as we remember God's continued faithfulness. And we as a people can believe in a future that's different from what we can see, because this is how God tells his story, and he always has. And therefore, we can courageously act in hope today, because we know that God is with us. And that changes everything. Hope in this Christmas season is an act of remembering. Remembering what he said. It's remembering that God has been faithful. It's remembering that God remembers. But hope in this Christmas is also an act of faith. Believing that the future can be different. Believing that God's not done telling his story yet. Believing, what if? But hope in this Christmas is also an act of courage. It's living into what could be. It's expressing possibility manifest in action. It's becoming our hope. Let's pray. Lord God, in this season of Advent, we ask you for hope. We ask you for hope in our lives, in our families, in our community, and in our world. Because it sure seems like we could use more hope these days. Lord, help us be your people of hope. Help us be better at remembering. At grounding our story, not just in what is in the moment, but what was. Grounding our story in your story, that we might have more hope. And Lord, give us eyes to see what could be. Give us eyes to see your hope, that we might be changed. And then, Lord, give us the strength to act in courage even today, that we would live our hope, That as we know how you have been faithful and as we can see what could be, that we would start to live out your hope for our lives, your hope for our families, your hope for our community, and your hope for our world. Lord, help us to be your people of hope, like your son Jesus, who had hope, who knew that things could be different, who knew your faithfulness, and who lived out your will. Lord, it's in his name we pray all these things, in hope. Amen. Let's stand as we continue in worship.